pick your target, and it's easy to Devondre Campbell, Isaac Yiadom, and Ronnie Bell, and we can do that as far as scapegoats, because those three players made gigantic mistakes that ultimately helped to cost you the game, and you could throw in Jake Moody if you want, because I sent out the tweet a little while ago. The 50-plus field goal is a 73% proposition this year.
Yep.
He's 2 of 3, and you would like him to make the one that gives you a two-score lead, but as far as who you want to rat-a-tat-tat, if you want to go after the defensive coordinator and the special teams coordinator, you can. Kyle Shanahan's play calling, and this is, again, why I try to watch the game a second time, because I was telling my father-in-law that I watch it once, I watch it like you watch football, you know, as a fan, and then I try to watch it again as a journalist and as a commentator. That way I can get a little bit more detail on what I saw the first time and either confirm what I saw or to change my opinion of what I saw. And at first, I thought that Kyle Shanahan play calling was an issue, but yep. Upon further review, that to me was the least of their issues. I thought he called a good game. By and large, they offensively were pretty darn solid, but the thing that struck me the second time watching it is that Matthew Stafford got to the line of scrimmage and looked at the Niner D, and he was able to immediately determine what they were doing and what he wanted to do in the second half, and they carved them up.
Well, and that's why I do go to Nick Sorensen. You know, I mean, I know how a lot of people feel about the whole Steve Wilkes situation. I never thought Steve Wilkes was a bad coach. We were sort of coached into the idea that it was a bad fit. And so it gets to a point where it doesn't matter if he's a good coach or not. You know what I mean? Like, if you've got a marriage between two people and they get divorced, does that mean both people are bad people or bad at marriage? Or is it just a bad fit? Maybe it's just a bad fit. I don't know. I think there are some marriages like that. And I thought Kyle Shanahan and Steve Wilkes, clearly, starting with the Minnesota game last year, weren't feeling each other. So, okay, try something new. Now we're in a completely different situation. This is a first-time defensive coordinator who's being flanked by a guy who sucked out loud as a head coach. I don't even know where his name and what his role is in this, Brandon Staley. But he was absolutely terrible running the Los Angeles Chargers. Awful. So, does that transfer to this? I don't know. But I'm with you. We got to start there. I do think there are personnel issues on the defense. And yes, Kyle Shanahan is in charge of everything. So if you want to have it like trickle up, not trickle down, if you want to have it trickle up to Kyle, that's totally fair. These are his players in the end. These are his schemes. This is his handpicked in-house defensive coordinator. But I have no idea if Nick Sorensen's even up for this job. At least I'd seen Steve Wilkes do it before somewhere else. But I have no idea if he's up for this job, and I'm with you. It looks, and they need to know this, because like Steiny said, we're not X's and O's experts, but we're watching on TV. One of them we saw live, and that was actually a good performance. But on television, the Niner defense looks sort of like Brandon Crawford's demeanor. That's what you look like on TV.
Or like Brandon Belt.
Or Brandon Belt.
After looking at a 3-2 pitch on the outside corner for strike three.
You look like all of the seniors in high school when they walk to lunch.
Totally.
Like, that's what you look like. I don't know why. Is that schematic? Is it arrogance in thinking that at a vanilla-based D, you're going to get home because you're not getting home? And so your linemen look like Javon Hargrave, like they're not trying. And then your defensive backs look slow because they're getting beat. And they also look out of position because they are committing penalties. And you know me, boy, I would love to come in and get your goat on the refs. I can't. The Niners aren't suffering from bad calls this year. You're out of position. Is that the players? Is it the scheme? I can only guess that it's a lot of both. And so, for me, lots to get to, but that's the front of the line.
Yes, and you want to talk about penalties. They had 7 penalties for 111 yards, and that is an eye-popping sticker shock number But when you look at it, two of those penalties combined were 73 yards. Two penalties for 73. Isaac Yiadom, a 48-yard penalty on the Rams' first touchdown drive of the second half, and then, of course, the Devondre Campbell. And that's the one where I would look at the scheme, and I can't wait to talk to Greg Cosell about this on Wednesday, our film expert, and ask him,
yep,
you know, what the Niners were doing to have a linebacker guarding, you know, Parkinson in that route, and he's trailing him the whole way, and he just runs straight through him, and it's a 25-yard PI that puts you at the 25, and it's night-night. But the scheme for me felt like a big issue, but I also look at the roster now defensively without Dre Greenlaw, and I thought Hufanga played pretty well coming back. I mean, he came back from a major injury.
Four plays in before he was doing late hit things again. I'm like, well, Hufanga's back.
No, but he's at least making the impact,
yes,
and
yes,
he's putting the thump in there. And I look at a defense, and we know all the names, and we know the salaries, and I look at Nick Bosa, and I thought that Nick Bosa was fine, but he needs to be more than fine.
Yeah.
And Javon Hargrave had a sack, and he had a couple of big hits, but your front is mostly ineffective. Fred Warner's doing his darn best running around as a linebacker. And your secondary, we thought Mooney Ward was better than this. Isaac Yiadom's getting cooked. Diamino Lenore is actually sneaky really good.
He's
phenomenal. Had a really good game.
That's who I'm keeping next year. Charvarius Ward's going to be on a different team. That'd be my guess.
But my look at the game for a second time had me thinking about this roster, and I think that we overrate how good this roster is.
You're probably right. You're probably right. And maybe that's just, that's the residue of the Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner defense that we've come to know. And linebackers and defensive backs can make up for a lot of things. And if you're an offensive coordinator, you have to know where you can attack. And when Dre Greenlaw's out there and Fred Warner's out there, it's pretty hard to figure out where the hell can I attack.
Not the middle of the field.
No, I can't do the middle of the field. I can't do the run game. So now I've got to do up over the top, and that leaves your quarterback exposed. You get sacks, and next thing you know, you're ranked number three in the league for total defense. That's kind of how the whole thing works. But yeah, if you go from Dre Greenlaw to what they're getting right now to Devondre Campbell, that is a massive, massive dip and problem.
Yes, and you know, Devondre Campbell, good in the run game, but when you're going to go to a pass set and you have him on the field, an offensive coordinator is going to look at that and lick his collective chops knowing that he cannot cover. And so he actually was the one in coverage on the first touchdown when Kyren Williams got little choice route. He runs right at him, gives him a little wiggle fake, cuts inside, and Campbell was kind of left holding the bag, and then Williams flips in the end zone. So I don't know what you do because you don't have a lot of other linebackers, and already you're playing a ton of nickel, which means two linebackers on the field, and Demetrius Flanagan Fowles is not a lot better when it comes to his actual quickness. So yeah, what are you going to play, just dime and have one linebacker on the field and let Fred run all over the place? They got roster problems too, Mark.
That was embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
Hashtag fade the Dibber. We'll get to it.
Those of you who weren't,
I'm downtrodden.
5 o'clock Friday, that did scare me. I wasn't scared about this weekend until that. Told you I was excited about the game. I told you that Brock Purdy was going to play well. I tried to tell you. But then to lose the game when you've got a double-digit lead for the majority of the afternoon, and the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams with no Puka and no Cooper Kupp.
No Higbee.
I mean, whatever.
That's for Steiny.
That's even what's one thing, right? If you lost and you're like, oh, the offense isn't moving well because they're missing all these guys. But you lost. You let a receiverless team come back on you from double digits in the fourth. That's embarrassing.
Juwan Jennings should have been carried out of the stadium and carried home to Santa Clara after what he did.
He should be getting ready for NFC Offensive Player of the Week honors.
He won't.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to give it to a loser. And by the way, let me say this about Juwan Jennings. All the compliments you're going to get today, I'd like to give you a different one. I love that you didn't talk to the media after the game. I love it. As a member of the media, I love it. You know why? Because Juwan is everything that Brandon isn't. He's all about the team, and he couldn't stand what happened out there. He had the game of his career, and he couldn't stand the result. That's my receiver. That's my man right there. That's the compliment I want to give Juwan.
First in Juwan, second in Juwan, third in Juwan, just Juwan.
Fourth in Juwan.
Amazing catches,
fifth in Juwan. Incredible catches.